Blog Talk Radio.
Whatever time of day it is in your part of the world, you are listening to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. The call-in number this evening is 347-205-9200. Our guest this evening is none other than the very talented Chef Keem, a.k.a. Akeem Demiron of Squadoo.com fame. And ChefKeem.com, where you will find a picture of a naked chef. Chef Keem is originally from Munich, Germany, and settled in Austin, Texas in 1981. He is an accomplished chef, musician, entrepreneur, and all-around entertaining gentleman. And we are so happy to have Chef Keem on our program this evening. Before bringing him on, I will bring on our dear Joan Adams, a.k.a. Moonvine. Hello, Joan.
Hello, Kate. How are you? And welcome. This is going
to
be fun.
Welcome to you. This is great. How are you?
Good. Good, good.
Wonderful.
The chat room obviously is still not working.
Yes, it is completely down.
Okay.
But we are not. So.
That's right.
Without further ado, we are going to bring on Chef Keem.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you and welcome?
Well, thank you. I find it so remarkable that you misspelled my real name, but you remembered the picture of the naked chef.
Well, let's face it, that's the most memorable thing in the world.
The visual. Yeah, yeah. So, great. Great to
that's
be here.
That's a great picture. It's a good sight, too. I did go out there and wander around a bit.
Yeah. Well, I still need to put much work in. It just started a couple of weeks ago, and I'm adding content. Now I want to make it, bring everything together from Squidoo and the cooking and all the recipe pages, but also provide some new content, of course, make it funny and interesting and irreverent a little bit, you know.
It'll be fun. It'll be a good one, I'll guarantee you. You're gonna have some recipes out there too then.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, and a lot of videos, you know.
Oh good, good.
I love the introductory video to that site. It's really great. They're all, you know, you have a few there, but the one that introduces the site is great.
Well, that is a professional clip that a friend of mine who is actually an award-winning documentary filmmaker, and we took a day, did some professional shooting actually with a real high-end camera, and hopefully there's a lot more to come and from that day, but this is the only clip I have so far. You know. Anyway, so what we talk about?
Talk about you. Tell us all about you. Tell me how you landed at Squidoo.
Oh, my God. That is so it was January 29th, 2008, and I will never forget that because I was just, browsing around and looking for ways to make free web pages. I wanted to do something for my business and express myself, and I've heard about ways to make that inexpensively and things like that, and somehow I landed on the Squidoo.com homepage.
So nobody sent you just found it yourself?
No, I guess I searched how to make free web pages or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I landed on there, and I've basically been on it ever since with short sleep breaks for about 16, 17 months or so. Yeah, it was. I never turned back. I mean, it seems like I had this instant feeling of this is exactly what I've been looking for all of my adult life. I mean, since I've sobered up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like I've recognized more than I actually recognized. It was more intuitive, you know, that I felt like, oh, just from what I read, so the first things, and I don't know, did I read some lenses? Did I read Seth's lenses first? Or I don't remember what the first things were, actually, the very first things. But the whole concept, and it occurred to me right away that there is something that is really giving and receiving. So you put something in and you get something back. You know, in the form of royalties. I mean, I did not know back then right away just how much good in terms of friends and community and advice and teaching and help and all that will come back. But I just knew it. I don't know. It was miraculous. No, well, I don't want to get too woozy here, but it really feels like that.
It feels that way to me.
I'm still on there, you know.
Right. And how long? What did you say was your beginning date? 2007?
No, 8. It was January 29th, 2008.
Okay. So I came in May after you came in January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Aren't you always a little slow? Or no.
Right behind you. Right along.
Contemplative.
I think I'm the worst one. I came on in 2006 and didn't get the hang of it at all until just recently when Joan kept telling me. She's my mentor on Squidoo, which is the greatest thing. That I agree that Squidoo is beautiful. It's like good karma sprinkling all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. The community
is designed. Go ahead, Joan.
You're right. You're going the same way I am, that the community is the bottom line with that, with Squidoo. It's all community-based, and I love that.
Yeah, by design.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the good stuff that Seth got in his teaching. It is contained in there as a success recipe. You know, this is if you provide, you know, unique, useful, updated content, then you will reap the benefits in one way or another. I mean, that depending on where you go. If you want to share your writing, share yourself, express yourself, if you do that in the suggested way, you will find an audience. You know, if you want to create an online business, so you want to sell things, either your own product or affiliate, if you do that within the context of unique, useful, updated content, you will get royalties because your lens will rank highly, and you will get visitors again because your lens is good quality, will be found by Google. And you know, if you do all the things that you can learn, what is required to be found in Google, and you reap the financial benefits, you know, through royalties or through visitors who shop, or it's all based on your participation in a unique, useful, authentic, honest way with integrity. So spammers don't have a chance. Junk producers don't have a chance. It's just like the design and law of Squidoo is: if you do how we present it to you, how we suggest you use it, you will be successful.
Right. I love the note you had on Squidlog. Within the last week or two, about being authentic, and we talked about that a little bit the other night. But to me, that is the biggest piece of advice that you can give anybody on Squidoo is to be real.
Yeah.
You know, if they,
and anybody with an online business.
Right. Be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is like, just imagine you go into a store, like you have an item in mind, you look around a little bit, you find this great little store here in the older part of town or upscale part of town, whatever. You're so happy. You see the sign outside, okay, we carry whatever you're looking for, the best quality in town, whatever. So you go in, maybe you did a little online research first, you know, and yeah, sure enough, they have exactly what you're looking for in there, sitting right there on the shelves. It's in your color, it's in your size, the price is right, everything. So you look for the salesperson, you know, and somebody comes from the back room, comes up front. He's in like this, well, it looks like a cape, you know, with a paper bag on their head, some slits so, you know, the eyes you can see through. But you have no idea, is it a man or woman? Who is it? Is it an adult, a child? Is this dangerous? Is it some? Who is this? And you say, hi, I'm so glad I found this item here in your store, and I would like to buy it. And the person, you know, makes some sounds, and you say, well, excuse me, are you the manager? Are you the? And the person says something like, well, I can't tell you that. No, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't even know you. If I give you my name, I mean, what could you do with it? You could, you know, you could go somewhere and spread some rumors about me or something. Oh, I'm sorry, I cannot tell you who I am. I mean, what do you say, next thing you would say, oh, it does not matter, here's my money, I want to buy this anyway. No, you would flee. You would run out of the store. You know, and this is how I think we should look at our online business, too. It is like, it's like a store. It's old-fashioned, or like a conversation with someone. I have something that someone else would like or could use, and so we have to do this personal exchange. I offer it to you. Here's who I am. This is why I think that I have authority to offer this to you in good conscience. It is quality, and here I tell you why I know this. Here's my experience with it, or, you know, whatever. And that would tell the other person, aha, this person seems to be trustworthy. I know who it is. I'd be glad to give him my money, especially since they have what I'm looking for. You know, that's
right.
All.
It's the same as going into a restaurant and being called by name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same thing. It's going in and somebody said, hey, Joan, how you doing? I mean, that matters to me.
Yeah.
You know, I want people to know. Yeah. We all have that need to be acknowledged as human beings, and like you say, not hide.
Well, no, we don't have much choice anymore because millions of people are doing this now. I mean, it's free, not only on Squidoo and so many other places. So if I look for a certain item, I mean, there are thousands or more possibilities for me to buy this. And so we need to be, you know, again, safeguard and remarkable. You know, it needs to be unique.
Right.
And otherwise, you know, why would people pick us over someone else?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Then is there anybody on the line waiting, Kate?
Nope.
Okay, because I've got another question for you. Total lifetime, and I know your life experience is broad, and I've read a lot of your stories and things, and this is off the cuff, I realize it, and I did think about it myself before I'm asking you, but overall, what would you say is the number one lesson, life lesson you've learned? Not Squidoo, just overall.
Life's lesson?
Life lesson.
Uh-huh.
If you could tell people one thing, I want you to know this from me while I'm here on planet Earth. What would that be?
I did.
Go ahead.
Of which comes right in my head is put yourself in someone else's shoes. Because,
yeah.
I mean, that is the kind of sums up so many other things that are important, you know, that's being compassionate and being helpful, and we being non-judgmental. It is so easy for us to judge someone else, especially if we are successful in one way or another, or whether we we have information on certain procedures on Squidoo or somewhere else. I mean, it's easy to look down on other people, but I mean that's just one area. And more in general, I would say this: the most important thing is that to realize that we are all in the same boat. That we, I mean, all of us. I mean, everybody on the planet. We are all interdependent and interconnected, and it's everything we do has this ripple effect on everyone else, and that goes a little bit into maybe a spiritual philosophy or metaphysical or whatever. But in the meanwhile, it's all scientific too, because of what we've learned through quantum physics, and I know you guys talked about that on the show before. That,
oh yeah.
You know, that we are not, no man is an island. I mean, we need each other, and the more we give of ourselves, of course, the more we get. I mean, that goes hand in hand with all that. But there's also principles that are sometimes difficult to understand because we're so afraid. You know, we're so caught up in our own stuff that we are afraid to miss something for ourselves if we spend some time on other people. But exactly the opposite is actually true. The more we care about other people, the more we actually get what we want for ourselves or what we need for ourselves. It is something that you learn in AA or in other self-help programs. So it is this unbelievably true and real and scientific principle, whatever, that if I want something, I need to give it, you know, or I need to give of myself to get what I need, which is often better known by some kind of higher authority, whatever I might call it, nature, God, doorknob, what have you. Doorknob is a real stupid example, but in some places. but you know, it is so mysterious and so miraculous too. And I've learned that only since I've completely sobered up the last time. I mean, I had a week off the wagon 12 years ago, and I, when I came back then into AA, I got this wonderful sponsor who really taught me a lot, and he always reminded me to look back what happened. You know, when I complained about money or about, you know, financial problems, and so he always said, "Do you have food in the fridge? Yes. Do you have your rent paid? Yes. Do you have gas in the car? You go to work? Yes. So what are you worrying about?" I mean, that is one principle, you know, to live in the moment. But also, and I actually digressed a little bit. What I meant was looking back, what happened some time ago and what happened then. And so, for instance, when I made an effort to sponsor somebody or to help somebody, really put myself out there and just not think about myself, think about someone else, certain things happened. Usually, for some reason, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks or so, it seems to be such a magic time span that all of a sudden money came in when I needed it. Or or I met somebody who had a special job, or when I had my own business, that orders all of a sudden came in. Why now? You know, why not before? It is really surprising at many times that we said, why is it all going so good now? You know, but what did I do? And then when you look back, you realize that you actually took some action. It's just we don't take the time to observe those things so often, you know, and we forget. But it's nevertheless, it's so true, you know.
Yeah. Are you familiar? You familiar with Todd Silva? Do you know who Todd Silva is? Todd's the giveaway a dollar a day guy.
No.
He was on our show one night. He's just neat.
Yeah.
But Todd's whole thing is if you give away a dollar every day,
uh-huh.
You hide it. You can't. Nobody can see you do it. You have to give it away without being seen.
Uh-huh.
But that is how you build your own. Kate, help me with words here. Financial abundance is what I'm thinking. In other
yeah.
words, what you're doing is putting out and releasing the very thing that you need to come back. But your
yeah.
focus is on actual doing it, placing it.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah,
it's the same.
He said that you do it with the spirit of pure giving as opposed to even thinking about getting anything, which is cool. I think that's part of what we're saying.
Yeah,
here.
Release. You give it and you let it go.
I think
yeah.
there's a certain art in that to give without expecting back, but at the same time knowing that you will get back because
right.
it's just the law.
Right.
You know, so it is like it takes a little effort to free yourself from that from the mind that says, well, I'm going to give now. Because I'm going to get, I give $1 because they say somewhere in the Bible I get $10 back at some point. You know, we give those numbers and those figures to spiritual principles, which is not, do you want me to shut up?
Yeah. The dog behind me was
oh,
barking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, that it's not so. It's getting out of ourselves. That is our prison always, you know, that we are so caught up within ourselves, so we isolate, you know, in many different ways, and so we cannot receive. I mean, that is and you know, you can quote the Bible, and I'm not a Bible thumper at all. I don't go to church or anything or organized religion or something, but I mean, that there's a universal spiritual and scientifically proven principle that and now I lost it. What were you starting with, the sentence?
What we give is what we receive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh well, I'm talking
yeah.
too much. You're talking.
No, you're not. No, I'm loving it.
No, I have a question for you. Well, did you have a spiritual awakening that led you to your sobriety from alcoholism?
Well, that was really, there was basically a book started there that a friend of my ex-wife gave me out of the blue without, you know, I don't know. She just came by and said, I feel like dropping this off. She was somehow inspired or guided there. And I was at a point where I didn't mind, you know, didn't care, not mind, but didn't care about dying or living anymore because my, which was my girlfriend at that time and then later became my wife, she had told me, if you don't quit drinking, then you got to move out and I cannot live with you anymore. And I remember exactly thinking, well, that's a bummer because, you know, I have no idea how to quit drinking. Then a friend of hers brought this book, and I read it, and it was about, it's by an English medium, Grace Cook. A woman had passed on in the meanwhile, and she has channeled a Native American Indian entity called White Eagle.
Mm.
And I looked through the book. The book is called The Quiet Mind. And there are all these paragraphs in there, and that dissolve everything fear, any spiritual fear or existential fear in my mind from my religious upbringing. You know that about punishing God, about you know, deadly sins and all this stuff. It all talked about we are here to learn, and we come back many times to learn more. It introduced reincarnation to me, and it just rang true, everything I read there, and it rang so true that it gave me a will to live. And, well, off I went to treatment and AA, you know. Just read that book, yeah.
You know what? Books can change your life, and that's a beautiful example.
Yeah.
Not only that, but the big book by Bill Wilson is one of the... I had seen the book for years and years and years, but when I finally read it, I was astounded by the... Well, first of all, it has that old language where everything is he, and, you know, I love that stuff, though. It's the old spirituality language that you might have read with any number of the old spiritualists, and I just loved his way of expressing things. He was just that's one of the greatest books in the world, and people should read it. It's wonderful, and also the 12 steps. We had a meeting where we would get together and read his book on the 12 steps, and we would read it out loud. And I never had such, you know, we would read them over and over and over again, and each time something would settle in a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say, yeah, he was one of the greatest spiritual master, really. And, of course,
yeah.
Dr. Smith was also wonderful, too, but he was just a little less out front than Bill Wilson.
But Bill Wilson didn't see himself as a spiritual leader, did he?
No.
And I don't think he had any idea what he was doing at the time.
Yeah. I agree. Not only that, but the people who met him, he didn't appear to be a spiritual giant. He was sort of a bungling kind of guy and maybe not even that likable.
Oh, really?
That's what people tell me who had... Yeah. I had a sponsor who has since passed on, and he was sober for 35 years. So he had, from the very beginning of his spiritual recovery, you know, had known of people who met Bill Wilson or knew Bill Wilson, that kind of thing, because he was kind of an elderly fellow by the time I met him. So it was kind of... That was really interesting.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was Aldous Huxley called Bill Wilson the greatest spiritual architect of the 20th century.
Absolutely, yeah.
This, yeah, and was it spiritual architect or was it another word? Social architect.
I believe he was.
It's unbelievable if you think about how. The stigma on alcoholism and how many people died. I mean, still die. We don't hear about all the people who die because of alcoholism. But back then, before 1936, there was no solution. You know, there was electroshocks and insanity ward and nut house,
yeah.
and that was
mm-hmm.
all. And stigma and people didn't know it was an illness, a mental illness, a disease. But then this came along, and as it worked in my life, in a different form somehow. But it's a spiritual solution, you know, to a physical problem. So we need to not a change of mind, but it's a little different term.
How about replacing spirits with spirit? That was a Jungian, Carl Jung said that. I love that.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah, it's a psychic solution. I think that's what I was looking for. A psychic change. A psychic change. That's another description. And we just cannot apply physical principles like, you know, putting somebody away or electroshocks or all this. This cannot work. And we found out it's a psychic change. And through through the application of spiritual principles, and so this is also something for everything else. If it works for something so deeply ingrained like alcoholism, which is actually a physical as well as a mental and a spiritual illness, an emotional,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
because it's proven that it has to do something with the biochemical setup in our brains, but it's also mental and emotional, you know, the lack of self-esteem, the traumatic experience that led to it, whatever the combination of all this. Can you imagine you heal that with what, going to meetings, doing working with a sponsor, doing the 12 steps, I mean, doing some writing, doing some thinking, some meditation. I mean, what actually are you doing? You are just opening up. You're following some guidelines, and the universe, God, higher power, whatever, something out there, this higher intelligence, does the rest and heals you to the point where you never have to take another drink for the rest of your life. If you, you know, continue to maintain a certain lifestyle. I mean, if you hang out in bars 18 hours a day or whatever, then you might, you know, get a little bit away from your path. But it doesn't matter. Just considering the effort you put in there is so minimal to the result, you know, with help, with that higher power help. So if you consider that it works for something like this, and I mean, either works or it does not work. It should work for everything else too, which brings us back to Squidoo.
Right.
Or it brings us back
right.
to online marketing, you know, brings us back to whatever we want in life for ourselves out there. You know, it is we can heal everything that ails us through mental, spiritual efforts, practices. It's just this idea alone is just so powerful, and everybody has to, of course, find their own way in that. But it's so worth it to think about that often, because we always get so depressed and so down because we are medicating ourselves with our own ego instead of opening our minds and allowing some of these teachings or guidelines to enter us and you know, facilitate a little bit of a paradigm shift. That's often is all it takes,
mm-hmm.
and then it takes on a life of its own, and we experience, you know, a healing like we could not have thought possible. You know,
I want to go back just a minute too to where we were a while ago when we were talking about Bill, and I don't know his last name. I'm sorry, but.
Wilson,
and that he had no idea what he was doing at the time.
Right.
All right? And stay there just 1 minute. That if he didn't realize what he was doing and his influence later, how much more so are we in the same position now? If, say, you create a lens and or you're doing this radio show, or
yeah.
Kate creates lens, or whatever. Whatever we're doing because we feel led, guided, whatever, we just do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who that's going to touch 10 years down the road. And the actual, the idea of that blows my mind. And I don't see myself as any great leader either. But how many times have you read something that someone said, which you said just a while ago you did, a book,
yeah.
That made an impact in your life that affected you from then on? So if we aren't authentic, to come all the way around, if we are not authentic, and if we are not being ourselves and following through on the things that we feel like we need to say, then we are missing the opportunity to touch whoever out there in the future. Is that too convoluted? Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, it really is. It's kind of, it kind of leaves me awestruck a bit. Because we go about our daily lives and we're doing all these little things, but we don't know but what one of us is a Bill Smith. Wilson.
Well, it's also that we would be really hindered by such knowledge. You know, if we would be filled with that awareness that we are higher spiritual beings actually walking this earth, so I mean, we would sing hallelujah all day long, and smoke some good stuff, and feel above everything. Just wave at our followers and give a piece of wisdom once a day, and be full of ourselves, basically. Not that that doesn't work. I don't think that any of the great teachers that really helped with evolution, with our growth, go Jesus, Mohammed, Buddha, go anybody, and so many others in recent times, the founders of Unity Church, the Fillmores, such people, they would, if we meet them today, they would be just like neighbors and like other people. Gave us a message that felt inspired, humbly to pass on and Bill Wilson, of course, the same thing, and his humility is well documented. You know that he never thought of himself as anything special,
but he did remain authentic.
Yeah,
to me, that's our job, is to be sure we're being authentic, right?
He gave it. Yeah, he exactly authentic. You give the innermost of what you feel is valuable to you, you share it with the world, and that's all you can do, because we don't know.
Right.
I mean, today it's so global. I mean, looking at the visitors to Squidlog, I mean, they come from Mongolia, they come from anywhere, Scandinavia, Australia, and we know, because we have all these Squid members from all over the world. And so it's so amazing. You can actually give away something to the world, and you can do your little part, which might be a big part for some people, to change the world, to help all of us to move forward, to get better lives for ourselves.
Right.
It's a responsibility, yeah, but it's also a beautiful thing to do, because it gives so much meaning to our lives. I mean, what do we get out of working hard for 2 years with anything on ClickBank, whether we've read it or not, and we get a lot of buyers who we don't even know, and we don't even know if they need it, but, we put it out there with all the latest tricks and of manipulation, and then we have money, and so we have, we can look at our ClickBank stats, and we see, there's $2,000 this week, and then $3,000 next week, and I'm not saying that in general this is bad as a concept or so, no, but I'm saying in the context with not caring about other people, just about you making money. It won't last. It won't be good. It won't satisfy. You then want more, and they want something else and something different. I've been, when I was a record producer in Germany, I was in a position where I had more money than I could spend. I made so much money, and I was never happy. I was drinking, I said that to my counselor once, he asked me, when were you really happy? And I said, it was back then when I was a record producer and I had more money than I could spend. He said, why did you drink? And he kind of hit me like a brick, thinking, mm-hmm. I was not happy. That's a story I'm telling myself. I was unhappy as can be. I had to drown my pain. I had to, do other stuff to help me get through life. I was totally miserable. And so money is not the solution, definitely not, But the money or the wealth in whatever form, financially and happiness and serenity, will come when we do it a little differently. Huh?
Did you see the videos by the young guy, Johnson & Johnson's son? And he's a very, very wealthy young people, extremely wealthy young people. mm-hmm. and he's interviewing them. And it's on YouTube. It's a wonderful set of videos. But basically what you find as you watch those kids is they're all looking for a way to express themselves or a way to be authentic.
Yeah.
And they feel trapped by all of their money. It was really interesting. Yeah. You know, they want to be who they are without being strapped by all of that billions of dollars.
Right.
Just real. So basically, we are all coming from the same place as human beings. We have a need to be authentic, and we have a need to be noticed, good or bad.
Yeah.
I was thinking, to me, talking about changing paradigms in society, you know, if you go out into the workplace or even, like you say, you go into a store and buy an item and people are all sort of depressed and you go here, you go there, and people are just kind of like in a hypnotic negative trance about their lives. But then here online, we can connect with each other and we are like living on a higher, you know, going up a few higher rungs to express ourselves authentically, as you say. There is a lot of people that we have connected with in Squidoo, and we connect with on Facebook and Twitter and all the other social networking sites, people who are dedicated to self-growth and to love and to joy, all the higher emotional, vibrational fields.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you don't see that when you walk out into the world very easily, and or maybe people aren't showing it. Like you say, there's a lot of people who don't really express themselves that way, but we are doing that online, and I think we are, and isn't it Seth Godin who recently said the same thing on a video, Joan told me, that this online community is changing the world for the better.
Yeah. Yes,
I think that's very cool.
It is
It's
almost a movement. It's almost, and I think you and I have both called it a spiritual movement that is happening online. And it's interesting to me how we gather, how we seem to find each other online all the time, again and again and again, people of like mind. It's fascinating. Around the world. Around the world. Who would have ever thought it, you know?
Yeah.
It's an amazing
thing. I was just thinking how actually, even though if we put out our name and our faces and or our significant graphic, if not our faces, but if we identify ourselves in a significant way, we still maintain a certain anonymity because we're in our room at home on the computer. This just came to me. I was thinking we still have to. We still can hide a little bit. You know, it actually is still more comfortable than as if you were out there in a room full of people and needed to share ourselves. You know, so there's still this element of anonymity online. That fosters that a little bit, that encourages to let it out, especially when we have examples. And I say, on Squidoo, it's amazing. Joan, you just sent me a good link again, this artist, remember?
It was beautiful.
Yeah, the more and more people now open up and say, what the heck, I'm a tell it as it is. It does not make any sense anymore to hide. It is painful, you know. We keep it all in. We have, if we pretend to be something other than we are, it is clumsy. It just does not work. It doesn't give us the satisfaction, you know. But if we have the freedom to really express who we are, I mean, we can build on that. We can create from that. We can grow beyond our perceived limitations, you know. We give ourselves the permission to actually say what we think, to talk about what we love, to express our passion, and all this. I mean, how do we do that when we when we stay in this small format of just giving enough so we have an ID and we have something that we can be recognized by, a certain graphic or something. Again, I'm not saying, you know, Seed Planter Bonnie is the best example. She has this beautiful picture, and you see the picture, you know it's Seed Planter, because she talks about, she writes so personal, so intimate, she shares so much. It doesn't matter that she doesn't have her face in her ID. Everybody knows that's Bonnie, that's Seed Planter, whatever, you know. But, you know, it's just a freeing experience. Again, it's the opposite of what we think, and that happens so often, these paradoxes. You know, we were so caught up in our ingrained old fears about whatever stories we bring along, and we achieve the opposite of what we want to achieve. You know,
maybe we're practicing online how to be real, and then we can be more real in the real world.
Yeah. I think I've seen that happen in myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering.
We have a caller. We have a caller on the line. Let's see who this is. Erica,
you mean somebody's actually listening to us?
I think
so.
Hang on.
Hello?
Hello. Good evening.
I just tuned in. I'm not quite sure what your show is about.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show.
Neither
are we. Are you affiliated at all with Squidoo.com?
No, actually, I go in. Radio shows and listen.
Well, great. Welcome to the show. It's nice to hear your voice. Our guest tonight's, we talk about everything, all kinds of things every week, but this week our guest is Chef Keem from Squidoo.com and from various other places in the world, and we're discussing how to be authentic online, and we're talking about recovery from alcoholism. And what else? We're talking about the new paradigm, which seems to be happening with the online businesses and people gravitating to each other in a spiritual manner on the internet. So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and how everything connects. You know, it is not a spiritual theme. It's not about the greatest sales techniques or so, but it's about looking at all this in a context, how it's all interconnected somehow. I mean, any technique like search engine optimization or being a good writer or knowing how to dress up a web page or so. Anything by itself does not really do anything. It's so many things together, including our personal sharing, our telling who we are, being honest, being authentic. Yeah, of course, being having integrity, not selling any junk to people, so just to create some money. You know, so many. We just actually chatting away, you know, how we feel inspired, and one thing leads to the other, and the hour is over in no time.
Man, that's a fact.
There's so much more,
It's the fastest hour of the week.
I'm just kind of curious. I'll go ahead and let you continue, and I'll continue listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's nice to have
you.
And Janice is out there, and so is Mimi. We got all kind of folks listening. If I recognize.
Do you have a chat room up?
No, we're commenting. We're kind of chatting in the comment room.
Oh, that's great.
Interesting. There are folks I don't recognize and folks I do.
Oh,
Grandma Barb is out there.
Oh, yeah, Grandma, I see a picture now.
Yeah. Anna B.
Right.
Nudges, I don't know who that is. Nudges, I don't know your real name. And Stretch Mind and Body, welcome whoever. I don't know any of you, so welcome. We're glad you're here.
Yeah, welcome.
And that was another thing. I was thinking the lady that came on, and I'm glad she did. I don't think anybody comes into our area by accident. I always think that, you know, the right folks are here at the right time, and we're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing at the moment.
Yep. You know, I wanted to...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Okay, Kate. I wanted to mention this one thing. I wrote this Squidlock post. It's called The Top 5 Principles of Effective Persuasion, free ebook. Anyway, I just found that actually was 2 or 3 days ago, and I posted on May 24th, you know, a couple of days ago. And I found this so remarkable. This is a guy who's actually here in San Antonio, Blair Warren. He is a TV producer and a marketing consultant. And he, on some other blog, on Copy Blogger, they recommended his free ebook that is talking about the effective persuasion, 5 top principles there. So I made my post and added my ideas to it and then talk about it. And this is really what I think sums it up in one way. You know, there's so many ways that how we should relate to each other. So what as I wrote, and I read it now, but you guys can go to Squidlog and look it up. But he says, okay, let me just say, I wrote this. I looked for the similarities of marketers and customers. So what we all are about, what we all looking for, you know, we all have unfulfilled dreams, we have wants and needs, we have fears of the unknown, we don't trust strangers, we feel guilty of our failures, you know, the past failures and probably future failures too. You know, I have this from another course I attended at one point. They put it like this. What we do is we take our past and put it into our future all the time. And that's mm-hmm. how we design our future.
Yeah.
So we need to take our past out of our future and let the future be blank, a blank page, and create it from today on, you know. Anyway, digressing again, we all have financial insecurities and we have more or less problems with self-esteem in one way or another. And the way Blair Warren puts it, he says, you can be successful online if you encourage your customers' dreams.
Mm.
And if you take away their guilt, you know, you acknowledge their fears. Let me see real quick, because I'm reading my post, but actually he says it a little different. Let me paraphrase so I don't waste time here looking for that. It is, people want somebody to take away their guilt. People want somebody to take away the blaming, you know, so justify their failures. You know, we all make mistakes. There are so many reasons to make mistakes out there. And people want that compassion. People want somebody to take him by the hand and say, you have all the right to dream, and here's what I can contribute to the realization of your dream, you know. And I understand that we make mistakes, and that it's not your fault. It is some circumstance or something in your life. And we hear that in spiritual teachings too. It is not our fault what we did wrong, but it's our fault if we don't do something right now to make it better. You know, we can take that
mm-hmm.
take that on. Why don't you say something real quick, and I see if I can find this so I quote him exactly verbatim or so.
I love that.
I was just going to say, instead of focusing on guilt and blame, if people would instead switch their consciousness to accountability, that we are accountable, and if mistakes and, quote, failures occur, that we are all human, everybody is doing the best that they can. I know that's a cliche, but in reality, if you really, really, I in the past have really focused and meditated on that we're all doing the best that we can. And that, and really focusing in on that whole idea just releases you from the judgment and from gossip and from just being uncompassionate, just being not understanding of where people are coming from. So being accountable for yourself and your own, you know, human, the ways we are human, is what I get out of that.
Right. Have you seen that there's a picture, a fun picture of a frog, and it says, I finally learned that I'm only responsible for me.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And if
now, here's
that,
I found what he says. He puts it in one sentence. He says, this sentence is what you need to be successful in life. He says it a little differently, but the sentence goes like this. People will do anything for those who encourage their dreams, justify their failures, allay their fears, confirm their suspicions, and help them throw rocks at their enemies. Now, this is from a marketing standpoint, but the way he says it, you might find it, some of you might find it manipulative, some of you might find it distasteful, whatever, but he says the reality is these are the needs of all people, and all people get those needs met by someone.
Right.
The question is, who is it going to be? Is it going to be you? And if we have this combo of human psychology and marketing thinking in mind, we can actually take these concepts and add an enormous human quality to it. You know, I mean, it's not about telling people, oh, you poor thing, and whatever, and it's okay that you're afraid, and I feel so sorry for you. That's all nice for a moment. But we want to also, you know, add to the healing of that. We want to offer something in form of advice or in form of a product or whatever. I mean, we are all sharing and selling something, one thing or another, informational items or whatever, but this is what people are looking for. They're not looking for the best price. They're not looking for the best-looking salesman. They're not looking for the best-looking website. Those are all these fringe benefits, the sideshows, whatever. What people deep down are looking for is that. It doesn't matter what you sell. It doesn't matter, It doesn't matter what you sell or what you wanna share. Speak to these things, you know, encourage people's dreams, justify their failures so they open up. If they're caught up in being in guilt, they cannot hear you. Allay their fears, you know, it's impossible to concentrate on anything if you're afraid. So, confirm the suspicions that there are difficulties out there, there are problems out there. Look at what cults do. You know, cults confirm the suspicion of their members by telling them that their families are out to sabotage them. And that people flock to them. There is a suspicion in the beginning, and now somebody tells them, I totally agree with you, and people flock to cults and give them all their money and kill themselves, as the cult leader says. I mean,
right.
We have, those are extreme examples. That is just a basic setup somehow within us, and if we really focus on deep inside, we can acknowledge that it is nothing bad. It's human nature,
yeah,
it's just about being honest about ourselves, you know. And we also like to throw rocks at our enemies. I mean, you see it on TV all day long. All the successful shows are based on being better than someone else, knowing better, being smarter, having the better wisecrack, or whatever. It's our society is like that, you know. So how can we transmute all this? How can we address these things and then transmute them into something compassionate, generous, and without failure, successful. Because, I mean, we operate within a business of giving and receiving. So we get something back for that. It's a law. We give something to people. We get either in form of them buying our product, our ebook, or whatever. But, you know, everything has to have somehow this basic structure behind it.
Absolutely. I like
anyway.
It. We've got 27 seconds.
Actually, I think it's over. We
is
are
it?
Now...
Are
yeah,
we
are now just sort of streaming. We're not all off. We're, this will continue. It's just that the show is over, and
oh,
it was a great hour.
It was a wonderful hour. It was a fast hour. That
my
may be
goodness.
The fastest hour we've had yet. Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah,
and
we appreciate it. We appreciate your coming. That's for sure.
Wonderful.
Oh, that's
wonderful.
My pleasure. I had a great
enjoy
time.
It every minute. And so,
over.
Kate, when you record, then we will get this end of it on the
absolutely,
recording.
We will.
Wonderful, wonderful.
This will be uploaded on iTunes by the end of the evening, so we can direct people over there, and they can download it on their iPods and iPhones and listen to their heart's content.
Wonderful,
yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Well,
yeah,
thank
we
you
appreciate
guys.
It. Love
it was,
you lots.
It was
yeah,
great.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Hopefully soon again.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
for
yes,
sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. Bye-bye,
thank
Kate
you.
And Joan.
Good night.
Goodbye. Goodbye,
thank
Chef.
Thank you.
I'm going to play the music of musicformotherandchild.com. And the music is done by our very own Klaus Jensen from the Portable Empire Milagro World Forum, and his partner, Henrique Burke Abu. So love to everybody. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you, Chef Keen and Joan Adams.